Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you. Hosted by your local Labour MPs.
Tala falava, everyone. It's Samoan Language Week. My name is Jenny Salisa, Member of Parliament for Manukau East, and welcome to this edition of Red Alert. Today we're going to be talking about housing in New Zealand, and Auckland in particular has been gripped by a housing crisis for years, and it shows no signs of letting up. In recent times, we've seen the home ownership has become the privilege of the wealthy, of investors, of property developers. Many families can only rent, and a significant numbers of our families are constantly on the move, couch surfing with relatives in severely overcrowded housing conditions, renting unlicensed garages and sheds, and many of our families are also living in cars. My office in South Auckland and Ōtara sees three times the number of people seeking help for housing today compared to 2014 when I became a Member of Parliament for the first time. My electorate falls into Manukau Ward of the Auckland Council, and new figures that were released by MB just a few weeks ago tells us that the least affordable place to buy a house as well as to rent is in the Manukau Ward. Poor housing and homelessness causes major issues for lifelong health, children's education and the resilience of our communities and our neighbourhoods. The government is not addressing the root causes of recent announcements, and this recent announcements that they've actually announced will not sort the housing crisis out. My guest today is Phil Twyford. Phil is a Member of Parliament for Te Atatū, and he's deeply knowledgeable about the housing crisis as well being the Auckland spokesperson for the Labour Party. Phil has a background in leadership, campaigning and advocacy. He started political studies at the University of Auckland and worked as a journalist and union organiser before becoming the founding executive director of Oxfam in New Zealand in 1991, and then the Director of Advocacy for Oxfam International based in Washington DC from 1999 to 2003. He entered Parliament in 2008. Welcome to the show, Phil.
Hello, Jenny. Good to be with you.
Is there really a housing crisis?
I think most New Zealanders believe that there is a housing crisis. Actually, probably the few people in this country who don't think there is are sitting in the cabinet of this national government. We've got what the Salvation Army refer to as the worst homelessness in living memory. Home ownership rates now have dropped to the lowest they've been since 1951. And The Economist magazine recently declared New Zealand's housing to be among the most unaffordable in the world. I think that pretty much means there's a housing crisis.
So what's the nature and the size of this crisis from an Auckland perspective, given that you are Auckland spokesperson compared to the rest of the country?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that it's an economic and social crisis. And the meltdown that we've seen in the housing market with skyrocketing house prices that have on average doubled since National's been in office, the average house price in Auckland is now $1 million. That has flowed through into very high rents. So in the last 7 years, rents have gone up by, on average in Auckland, $7,000 a year. Now, that's created huge hardship for people who are renting on low incomes. There's a shortage of housing in Auckland. Under National, we've seen a shortfall of about 40,000 homes in Auckland. That's getting worse at the moment by about 6,000 or 7,000 a year. So you put those things together, skyrocketing house prices, a shortage of housing, and an acute shortage of affordable rental housing as rents go up. That's why you're seeing this massive level of homelessness and overcrowding that you see particularly in your electorate in Manukau East and in South Auckland. That's why last winter we had, you know, months of misery with people living in cars and garages and people even living in tents and suburban backyards, people living in campgrounds. This is the sharp end of the housing crisis. At the other end, you've got a whole generation of young Kiwi families who just cannot find a home that they can afford to buy. So people who only 10 or 20 years ago would quite realistically have thought that if they worked hard and saved, they'd be able to own a home of their own. That was the Kiwi dream for so long. That generation now, it's almost impossible for them to get into the housing market. They simply can't save fast enough to keep up with the increase in the house prices. So, you know, that's affecting a large number of people.
Mm-hmm.
And the other important thing to note, I think, are the economic consequences of this. The housing crisis means that employers can't find staff who can afford to live in Auckland. So there's about two-thirds of the country who don't live in Auckland can't afford to come here and apply for jobs that they might be really suited for. Schools can't hold or recruit teaching staff because they can't afford to live in Auckland. And that applies right across the city. It's a massive drag on the productivity of our country's biggest city. And the other thing is that it's sucking vast amounts of the country's capital into real estate speculation instead of into businesses that create jobs and prosperity.
So can we talk about the numbers of houses? The numbers of houses that the government actually owns. So a few years ago, it was at over 69,000 or so. How many houses are there now? Because one of the things that this government has done is to sell off state houses, and does this exacerbate the problem, them selling off our state houses?
Yes, it does. And this the whole debate that we're having about the future of state housing in New Zealand, I think, is one of the kind of raw nerves of this housing crisis, because state housing's been the way for generations that in New Zealand we've ensured that people who might be struggling in the private rental market can at least get a decent roof over their heads with an income-related rent, so that they're not spending more than 25% of their household income on rent. And what National's done is proceeded to try to sell off large amounts of state housing. In fact, they've been selling off state houses faster than they've been building them. There are 2,500 fewer state houses now than when National came to office 9 years ago. And the number of state houses that the government owns is now down to about 65,000. They also lease some as well. But the important thing is that they've reduced the stock of state housing in the middle of a housing crisis when people are living in garages. And the reason that's happened is that they've been taking money out of Housing New Zealand. They've been kind of using it as a cash cow. They've taken $1.8 billion out of Housing New Zealand in the middle of a housing crisis. And that's made up of dividends, so profits, but also interest payments on loans and taxes. Now, that would have been enough to build 5,000 extra state houses. And we wouldn't, if they'd done that, and hadn't been selling houses off, we simply wouldn't have the homelessness problem that we have now. And instead, the government is spending about $100,000 a day at the moment putting people up in motels, homeless people.
So one of the things we heard this morning on Morning Report was that we are now seeing increasing numbers of what they termed Auckland refugees, families who are moving away from Auckland up to Northland, but a lot of these families are not actually finding a place to stay. One of the things that's also been discussed lately is the accommodation supplement. What are your thoughts on whether or not the accommodation supplement boost is going to be the solution for homelessness and an affordability of rent?
So it's true that there are people who are fleeing Auckland now because they simply can't afford to live here. And the government likes to say that's a good thing because it's going to be good for the regions to get more people. But this is no economic development policy for the country to allow housing to get so out of control in our biggest city that people are fleeing the city because they can't afford to live here. I mean, it's just crazy. You wouldn't expect this to be happening in a relatively wealthy country like New Zealand. The accommodation supplement is a payment that taxpayers shell out to the tune of about $1.2 billion a year. It's a rent subsidy, so it goes mostly to people who are renting in the private rental market to allow them to pay rents that they otherwise wouldn't be able to afford. And this highlights one of the problems we have in New Zealand is that we've got very expensive housing, but very low wages and low income. jobs, and without this annual payment, people couldn't afford to live. Now, what the government's done is in the budget that came out last week, is that it's increased the accommodation supplement. So people are going to get between $25, $40 extra, depending on where they are, a week. And in one sense, that's a good thing, because the people are really struggling financially. But the danger with this is that it's going to drive up rents, because it means that people can afford to pay more rent. And there's no doubt that some of those gains from that extra payment will go straight into the pockets of landlords and will have the effect of driving up rent. And I think it exposes the poverty of thinking in National's housing policy. They won't tax speculators, they won't ban foreign buyers, they won't build 100,000 affordable homes, they won't seriously reform the planning rules so that our cities can grow properly. You know, there's a long list of things that they should be doing. Instead, they're addressing the symptoms instead of the causes of the problem, throwing money at a rent subsidy like the accommodation supplement, much of which inevitably will end up simply just going into the pockets of landlords.
So did you see anything at all in the recent budget announcement from your perspective as the housing spokesperson that would actually be the solution that takes us a way forward into the future to address this housing crisis?
There was nothing in the budget that will make a significant difference to the housing crisis. Nothing at all.
So what can be done? What is Labor's fresh approach to the housing crisis?
Well, our plan's pretty simple, Jenny, and it's a set of policies that we think will at least make a start on fixing the housing crisis. And it starts with the basics of supply and demand. And I think everybody gets the fact that house prices are set by supply and demand. So you've got to deal with both sides of the equation. So on the demand side, which National completely denies as an issue or a problem, we are going to rein in out-of-control demand pressures by first banning foreign buyers from buying existing homes. Now, currently, we have a completely open market. Someone can sit on the other side of the world who's not a citizen or a resident of this country, and they can buy and sell our property to make capital gain and make profits, driving up house prices at the expense of locals. So our policy is the same as the Australian federal government. We're going to say that if you don't have the right to live in this country, if you're not a citizen or a resident, then if you want to invest in real estate, then build a new home and add to the supply. So that's the first thing. Second is that we're going to tax speculators who sell a rental property within 5 years of buying it. So if you sell a rental property within those 5 years, you'll pay income tax on the capital gain. Now, we think that's only fair, and it will help to slow down the overheated market. We're also going to close the current loophole in the tax rules that allow landlords to run a rental property at a loss, but subsidise that by paying less tax on other income. That's called negative gearing, and it's effectively a massive public subsidy to property investors. That at the moment in the last year, allowed property speculators to write off $600 million in losses and avoid $150 million in taxes. So that also, we think, will make a difference. We're also going to slow down immigration, particularly in Auckland, where the government has allowed basically an open-door immigration policy to add 172,000 people to the city's population, massively adding to demand, at a time when the government simply hasn't been investing in the infrastructure to support that population growth. So all of those things, Jenny, I think will make a significant difference to the demand pressures. The other big policy that Labor's got is Kiwi Build, and that is our promise to build 100,000 affordable homes for first home buyers. And, you know, at the moment, very few of the homes that are being built around Auckland are in that affordable range, only about 5%. The great majority of the houses that are being built are way out of the range of young, struggling families. So we're going to build homes, modest, high-quality homes that will be affordable to young families. So that means medium-density terraces and townhouses that would sell for under $500,000, so between $400,000 and $500,000. And standalone homes, there'll be a few of those that will sell for between $500,000 and $600,000. So that means that, you know, under Labor, young families can look forward to getting a home of their own that's affordable. It won't be affordable for everybody. There are a lot of people for whom, you know, $400,000, $500,000 home is still out of range of their income, but we've got options for those people too. But our KiwiBuild policy will add 100,000 affordable homes to the supply. It will ease the shortage of homes, and it will house a whole new generation of young Kiwi families who at the moment are shut out. It's also really important that we make things better for renters because, you know, with home ownership rates dropping so fast now, a majority of people in Auckland are now renters, believe it or not.
So what are you proposing Labor will do for renters?
We're going to announce policy on this during the campaign, but what we're looking at is really rewriting the rules to make renting better for people. And the first step, and we've already got lots of policy out there on this, is our Healthy Homes Guarantee. We're going to set tough minimum standards for landlords that will ensure that every rental is warm and dry. You know, about 42,000 kids get hospitalised every year, and I know, Jenny, in your electorate, there's a lot of families who are living in cold, damp housing.
Too many.
Kids getting sick. You know, these kids end up with respiratory and infectious diseases, and it leaves them with permanent lung damage for the rest of their lives. We can't carry on like that in this country, and it's time we did the right thing and ensured that all rental properties were warm and dry. So we'll set standards for ventilation, for insulation, and a affordable and modern fixed heating source like a modern heat pump that will provide that homes are warm and dry. We're also looking at how we can give renters more security of tenure. At the moment, New Zealand is a real outlier internationally. We give very few rights to renters, and the average length of a tenancy is 11 months, believe it or not. And that's one of the reasons, you know, in both my electorate in West Auckland, and I know yours in Manukau East, families are moving around so much, desperately trying to find somewhere affordable. The kids are in and out of school. It's terrible for their education. It's not good for their health or the well-being of the family. So we want to find ways, and we believe there are ways, things we can learn from overseas countries to encourage tenants and landlords to enter more longer-term and more fixed tenancies. There are some other things we could do. I'm very keen on the idea of banning letting fees. You know, at the moment, letting agencies charge sometimes up to 2 weeks' rent to a tenant who takes on a new tenancy. That's really tough at a time when people have to find a bond and rent in advance. It can mean thousands of dollars up front for struggling families. And really, there's no rational or fair reason why letting fees should be charged to tenants.
You know, I'm still worried that we will be seeing so many more families still living in cars and garages during this winter. What was announced by the government last week, it doesn't come into play until next year, 10 months. And so my worry is that we are continuing to see so many of our, for me, working families with their kids. And you're right, the effect that homelessness has and the affordability of rent has on our families means that they are sending their schools to different schools, that they're just going from school to school to school. What are your thoughts on how do we, as a Labor government, look to addressing that issue for our working families?
So this is one of the reasons why I think we have to take the housing crisis really seriously, because it is the big driver of poverty and inequality in New Zealand today. It's the thing that's driving a bigger and bigger gap between rich and poor, and it's meaning a whole generation of children growing up in New Zealand are just not getting a decent start in life. You know, how can we ever expect a kid who's growing up in the back of a high-ace van or even sleeping out in parks and on the side of the road, as like we saw in Auckland last winter, how can we expect those children to grow up to be productive citizens? You know, it's a terrible, terrible thing for our country. So we have to sort this out. And at one level, we've got to sort out the big macro forces that are the supply and demand factors that are so out of whack that are making housing costs so expensive. But at the other end, we have to put a decent safety net in at the bottom. That's why we've got to build more state houses instead of selling them off. That's why we need decent emergency housing. And I think it's been really disappointing that since the winter of misery last year, that you, Jenny, you did so much to profile and get out into the media and show people what was happening in South Auckland. And I think, you know, you did a fantastic job, really, of putting that issue on the agenda on behalf of your constituents. And it certainly embarrassed the national government. And the work that Hurimoana Dennis and the people at Te Puia Marae did when they opened their doors to dozens and dozens of homeless families and looked after them for weeks, if not months, it really, I think, struck a chord with New Zealanders all over the country who just think it's not acceptable in the 21st century to have people living in such terrible conditions. So National made some big promises after all that in September last year. But in the 6 months to the end of March, we know for a fact that they only increased the supply of emergency housing by 5 beds.
That's incredible.
That's for the whole country.
Mm.
You know, after all the big talk and the promises and Paula Bennett promising this and that and to have basically made zero progress in the supply of emergency housing, and now we're on the brink of another winter. So, like you, I fear that we're going to see a lot of families living in very, very tough conditions over the next few months.
You know, I was one of the MPs that went to sleep in my car just to experience what it's like sleeping in a car last winter. And I can tell you, Phil, I lasted, I think, about 2 hours at a time. It was that cold. Mm. To me, it felt more cold in my car than when I actually left. You know, every 2 hours I was awake because I was just freezing, and I had everything. I had woolen socks, woolen hats, everything, lots and lots of blankets. And I can only imagine what it would be like for a child having to live in a car. You know, I've seen too many families coming in their cars to my office looking for help. But one of these families, they came, you know how we have houses that are mouldy? One of these cars, because this family had been living in their car for quite a while, it had mould in their cars.
Mm.
It's just not acceptable. And I, like you, believe we have to change the government to ensure that this is addressed. Can you just tell us a bit more about the Affordable Housing Authority that Labor would like to see in the future?
So we want to create this Affordable Housing Authority to cut through the red tape. We've got to get better in New Zealand at building the homes that people need. We need our towns and our cities to be able to make room for growth. And unfortunately, we've had this now for decades, a very restrictive planning system that stops the city growing up, and it's been stopping it from growing out. And when you do that, it simply creates a pressure cooker, and what goes up is prices. So the land, urban land, becomes very, very expensive, and then the builders won't build affordable housing on expensive land because they can't make a profit. And that's really one of the root causes of the problem we've got. So we're going to do two things. One is we're going to set up this Affordable Housing Authority to cut through that red tape and build large new master planned developments. It's the difference between just splattering houses across the paddocks and actually planning whole communities with good transport services, public transport, parks and open spaces for the children to play, shops and civic amenities for people, all of the things that communities need to be successful. And we're going to do this at scale, and not just out on the fringes of the city, but in Auckland, particularly around the rail network, where billions of dollars have been invested, going back to the last Labor government, in building a modern rail network and rapid transit public transport service. So in places like Henderson and Panmure and Manukau, there are lots of communities around Auckland where we can do this, and we can improve the quality of housing. We can provide a better mix of, you know, standalone homes, but also townhouses, one and two bedroom flats, all of the different things that people need that simply aren't on offer now. So that's what the Affordable Housing Authority will do. It's going to be an engine, a driver for a high-quality urban development projects. That's how we're going to build many of the 100,000 affordable homes through KiwiBuild. But also the developments will offer a range of different affordability. So there'll be state housing. There'll be affordable rentals provided by non-profit organisations like the Housing Foundation. But also homes that are sold on the open market for ownership. Now, the other thing we need to do is we've got to fix those planning rules. And we have a plan that will still protect the environment, and it won't encourage kind of unchecked sprawl out into the countryside, but it will free up the opportunities to build up and to build out. And it will bring down the cost of urban land, and it will mean that our city can grow in response to demand. And, you know, what we've seen in the last 3 years, this shortfall of 40,000 homes, but an increase in the population of Auckland of 172,000. Now, that tells you right there why we've got such a big problem. So we're going to fix that. We're also going to fix a broken system for financing new infrastructure. At the moment, central government won't write checks for the transport, the waters, the all of the infrastructure and services that new housing developments need. The council can't finance it because they're right up against their debt limits already. But we've got a plan to access borrowing on the international bond market, long-term 50-year bonds at, you know, 2% interest rates, and then to package that up to finance the infrastructure for new developments to be paid back by a targeted rate on the properties in those developments. And we think that's fairer, much more efficient, and will be cheaper. And most importantly, it will turn the tap on and allow a lot more growth and development in Auckland.
So do you see a difference in the prices of houses? I know you made announcements in Wellington. Do you see the house prices being affordable in Wellington different to the house prices being affordable under this new authority in Auckland?
Well, what we've seen, interestingly, in the last few years is that, you know, the current housing crisis was really an Auckland issue for about 4 or 5 years, and there wasn't much action happening in the rest of the country. And then the Reserve Bank brought in these lending restrictions, loan-to-value or LVR lending restrictions, that force you to come up with a 10 or 20% deposit. And what's happened is that those lending restrictions have put the squeeze on the speculators in Auckland who are going around hoovering up affordable houses in whole suburbs across, including particularly in South Auckland where you are, Jenny. Mm-hmm. The speculators just came in and bought up so much of the housing. And so that's why we're seeing falling home ownership rates in your communities, mm-hmm. but much more expensive housing.
That's right.
But once the speculators had worked over Auckland and kind of exhausted it, they then moved out around the country. So Tauranga, Hamilton, Wellington, you're seeing capital gain there of 15, 20, even 25% a year. House prices going up at those rates. The flow-on effect is much higher rents. And, of course, those cities are seeing homelessness now. Yeah. So the Auckland kind of condition has spread to those other centres. So it's now a New Zealand-wide problem. It's not just an Auckland issue. So our policies, whether it's cracking down on property speculators, building 100,000 affordable homes, fixing the planning rules, building more state housing, we're going to roll those out right across the country.
Thank you so much, Phil. That was Phil Twyford talking with me about housing today. You've helped our listeners to understand the housing crisis, particularly in Auckland, as well as what needs to be done to get every Kiwi into a safe, dry and affordable home. Is there anything you would like to add, Phil, before we wrap up?
Just that I don't want anyone to be fatalistic and think that this problem is so big and so complicated that we can't solve it. There are lots of cities around the world whose population is bigger and growing faster than ours who have housing that's three times more affordable. And our parents and grandparents' generation, they fixed these problems. You know, up until the 1980s, we had some of the highest rates of home ownership in the world. And, you know, it's these problems tend to happen under national governments, and then it relies on Labor coming in, building houses, fixing the problem, getting the country back on track. And that's what we're going to do in September.
Let's change the government. Thank you so much for coming in today, Phil.
Thanks,
Jenny.
That
was Phil Twyford, Labor spokesperson for housing. Thank you.
Get together with your local MP next week at 9:05 a.m. Or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/redalertradio.